It's Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks for joining us. Our resident wine enthusiast, Ray Pfister, interviews some of the top winemakers in the country for his wine blog and podcast, Life Between the Vines. His goal is to show that wine isn't always as stuffy as some onophiles would like you to believe. In fact, he's found that most people involved in the wine industry are as down-to-earth as the grapes they grow. And, he says, nowhere is that more on display than at the annual industry fundraiser, Auction Napa Valley, which is run by the Napa Valley Vintners. Though it's a fairly swanky four-day affair, complete with dinners, barrel auctions, and out-of-this-world lots to bid on, Pfister says the event's purpose is to raise money for local nonprofits that are providing health care and education programs to the community. Pfister attended this year's record-breaking fundraiser at the end of May, and he came back with his impressions on why it was so successful. He begins by explaining that big donors often work up an appetite as the dollars fly, and the event organizers are happy to oblige with fabulous food.
This year was really exceptional because they had in the main tent, normally when you get there, in the past they've had vintners pouring wine at their own sort of little block. Instead, they sort of had two bars set up where all the wines, pretty much all the wineries that are involved in the valley, their wines are there for you to taste. And then on the sides of this giant tent were stations, 10 stations, and each one of those were manned by the first 10 seasons winners from Top Chef from Bravo TV. So we got a chance to interview all these winners who are quite well-known people now. They've become their own celebrity chefs. And, of course, they were making small plate food for all of us to sample, which was some amazing stuff. I mean, everything from ox tongue to shrimp soup, and it was really great. And some amazing desserts as well.
Well, that's pretty neat. Who'd you get to meet from Top Chef? Who were some of the contestants you got to interview?
Well, it's funny because I remember them by their first names more so because I watched the show back in those days. But I believe it was the fourth season winner. Her name was Stephanie. And in fact, she owns a couple of restaurants in Chicago. She did really great on the show, and she was very nice to talk to. Harold, who was the first season winner. Alan, who I believe was the second season winner. So most of these people are going to be familiar names to people who watch the show. What was interesting about meeting every one of them, having watched the show myself, is they were exactly the same as they were on the show. Very nice, very interesting. Harold was very intense, exactly as he was on the show. A little bit intimidating to talk to, but a really nice guy. So, but what they were making was inventive, interesting, and different. And what was also fun, too, on a quick aside, they had these trays. If anybody's ever seen a wood wine crate, very typical of how they ship nicer wines, they had the Napa Valley logo on this, I would say, probably 18-inch square tray. They were stacked up for people on the bars to take. And what they were there for was to serve as a tray for you to get your small plate of food. You could put four or five different plates on that, and just like a cafeteria tray, kind of a neat idea.
Oh, that's cute.
Then somebody came up with the idea after they were done to go to these chefs with a Sharpie and get them signed. So that became the thing. You're watching people walking around with these trays afterwards signed by all these top chefs. It was a very neat idea.
Now, I know one of the purposes of going out to auction each year is obviously not just to reconnect with friends that you've already spoken with for Life Between the Vines, but also to be introduced to winemakers who you haven't met before. Who are some of the new voices we'll hear on the podcast?
There's a French winemaker who is the winemaker from Mum Napa Valley, which I think even if you're not a serious wine drinker, everybody knows Mum, which is known for sparkling wine. And his name is Ludovic. I believe it's Dervin. It's spelled Dervin, but it's best I can do with my French. A great wine, a real character, and a lot of fun to talk to. And it's interesting when you meet somebody making sparkling wine because it's a different concept and it's a different process. Also talked to Jeffrey Stempfer, who's the winemaker for Bouillot, also known as BV, which is one of the oldest wineries out there, and again, one of the best known. A great character who was interesting to talk to because he looked like Frank Zappa to me.
Well, now, obviously, their wines were put into some of these lots along with some really extravagant opportunities. Tell us about some of the lots that were up for auction, including some of these great wines.
Some of the lots were amazing, and I'm looking at the catalog here in front of me because you can't pull any of this off the top of your head. They're so exceptional. I'm looking at what was lot number 19. It was from the Robert Mondavi Winery. Now, for serious wine drinkers, they know that is obviously no longer owned by the Mondavi family. It's owned by a larger corporation. But again, they get involved with this. And as a quick aside, for about the 420 or 450 wineries that are members of the Napa Valley Vintners Association, 90% of them are family-owned, which is a really great statistic. But this is from Mondavi Winery. What their lot was 100 bottles of Napa Valley wine, as noted, which is a specific list of vintages, which for them go back to, gosh, 1979, it looks like here.
Wow.
A Swiss and Italian vacation hosted by Margaret Mondavi, which is Robert Mondavi's widow. Round-trip airfare by Swiss International Airlines for four. 3 nights lodging at Beau Rivage Palace. 2 nights lodging in Lake Como for two couples. A cruise on Lake Como for two couples. 1 night lodging in Milan. I mean, it just goes on. I don't know what that lot brought in. I could tell you that the highest bidding lot was $800,000, which to the best of my knowledge is unprecedented.
Wow.
Last year, I believe the highest lot went for $430,000. Here's another lot for you from Tusk Estates. This is lot number 11. And, of course, it's 11 bottles of Napa Valley wine, as noted. And that's all these varying sizes of bottles that I'm sure many people are familiar with what a magnum is, but the sizes go up to all these crazy pronunciation. One's an imperial, which is basically 6 liters, which is pretty big, a double magnum. Anyway, these vintages go back to 08 and 09. Along with that, 1 week trip for two couples to London as guests of the San Francisco 49ers, London sightseeing courtesy of the NFL, tickets for four to the 49ers game in London, along with pregame field passes. I didn't realize the 49ers got to London. Flight for four to London from the East Coast destination to be determined. Chauffeured car service for Napa Valley events. 3 nights for two couples at a hotel in Napa Valley. And again, the list goes on. They're amazing lists, and the whole point of these is to bring money into Napa Valley to help all these charities so lots of these companies get involved and donate, which is fantastic.
We've talked about it before, but sometimes only mentioned it in passing. I'd like to go a little bit more into detail about some of the charities that this money does actually go toward.
Some of these charities are Clinic Olay, which is a free clinic in Napa Valley, also Queen of the Valley Medical Center, St. Helena Hospital, American Canyon Family Resource Center, Calistoga Family Center, Napa Emergency Women's Services, which is a very, very big charity that a lot of people have been involved with, Planned Parenthood, St. Helena Family Center, Family Services of Napa Valley. So you get this whole theme of family going on there. Does that tell you something about the people out there?
Yeah, exactly.
And that's agriculture. That's what wines are about.
You were telling me before that not only do they have these fantastic lots up for auction that get people opening their wallets, but some of the organizations that do benefit use some other persuasive tactics to get the dollars rolling in.
Yeah. Last year in the tent, they had, I can't tell you how many kids, probably 30 or 40 kids who are involved in some of these groups that would be benefiting, coming in with cupcakes. And your opportunity is to buy a cupcake for them. But the cupcake could be a $5,000 cupcake. That's how they do it. A couple of years ago, with your auction paddle, you got three tokens, wooden tokens. And each token had a number on it. The tokens had a 2, a 5, and a $10,000 value to them. So, you know, the whole idea is it's called fund a cause, where you're funding and helping out these kids. Basically, you're not getting a lot back. You're just getting the satisfaction of helping out.
Probably the most expensive cupcake anybody's ever eaten.
It's very true.
I wonder if what they do in Napa Valley with auction and even Premier, which we've talked about before, which raises money toward auction, if this is kind of a model that other communities could even follow. I mean, given the amount of wealth that's out there, is this something that other communities could be doing to, as you mentioned before, take care of their own?
I think it can be done. You know, Robert Mondavi, along with a few other well-known winemakers out there, John Schaefer and a number of other people, started this idea. And admittedly, sure, this is about wine, which is something that's very desirable, and it's I guess you'd say recreational or whatever you'd like to say. But anybody in any community could take a a resource like that and turn it into something to benefit their own community. It's not that they don't look to the government for help. They look to themselves. And a lot of this money coming in isn't necessarily from people living in Napa. These are people all over the world who travel to this event, and they contribute. You know, Napa's very good about making sure that the people who are going to come to this event are going to be serious bidders. I think that can be done in almost any community, depending on what the community is about. Maybe you have an art community. Maybe you have a film community. I'm not quite sure, but it seems to me it could work. And for them, you know, again, normally the auction averages between $7 and $10 million in a given year. They did $16.9 million this year. That's astronomical. The highest lot went for $800,000. That's great. Now, that's not going to happen in every community, but I think that kind of thing can be done.
Definitely shows that people are willing to donate and give that kind of money.
They are. And I think part of that, again, goes back to this idea of Robert Mondavi. This was a man who's very family oriented. Even though there's a lot of turmoil in his family when he left to do his own thing, he was very strong in family, and his children and children's children are out there with their own wineries now doing very, very well. He was about bringing people together. That was his concept about wine. Wine brings people together. So celebrate and have fun with it. And that's how he promoted it. And he is the model for so many winemakers who tour the country to sell their wine. Nobody had done that up to that point.
Well, Ray Pfister, thanks so much for coming in and giving us a peek into auction.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Lake Effect's wine contributor Ray Pfister is the co-creator and voice of the wine blog and podcast Life Between the Vines. Pfister is also the owner and engineer of Fifth Floor Recording Company in the Third Ward. He spoke with Stephanie Lecce. You can learn more about the auction and the Napa Valley Vintners fundraising efforts from links at wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take one last break, and when we return, we'll learn about a Wisconsin business that combines the do-it-yourself movement with lip balm. Stay tuned. Lake Effect continues with that conversation in just a moment on Milwaukee Public Radio.